Ben stepped into the refresher compartment and closed the door, then undressed and stepped into the Santa steam. As he washed, he kept Tahiri's lightsaber at hand and his four senses vigilant, alert for any presences in the hangar that might explain his uneasy feelings. The only beings he detected were Trista and Taryn, busy doing their checks and inspections, and a few droids. Ben was better at detecting droids than most Jedi, but his awareness of them was never very distinct. In this case, he just sensed concentrations of electrical energy that seemed to be moving around on their own. Droids, in other words. But there was nothing unusual about their presence inside a space hangar. By the time Ben had finished his Santa steam, Trista was warming the engine for departure. As Ben slipped into the clothes Taryn had left out for him, the mouth-watering aroma of Nerf steak and Yobaz began to fill his nose. He quickly pulled on his boots and stepped into the lounge to find a meal steaming on the table.
"I took a guess,"
Taryn said, placing a glass of golden golf milk next to the plate.
"I hope you don't mind."
"Mind?"
Ben dropped into a seat.
"I think I'm in love."
"Silly man. Royal cousins don't do love."
Taryn chuckled. She motioned at the fork and knife.
"I'm afraid you'll have to eat fast. It won't take us long to reach the Princess Star Cutter."
Trista announced their departure over the intercom. Then the skiff slipped from its moorings with a small downward jolt. The prickle that said Ben was being watched had returned, and this time it was stronger than ever. He reached out in the Force, and to his relief, did not sense a life presence. There was concentration of electrical energy on the upper hull of the skiff, a concentration that was slowly moving back toward the tail fins, where it would be able to take cover from an unexpected visual inspection. Ben returned his unused fork and knife to the table.
"There's no reason an auxiliary droid should be crawling around on your outer hull, is there?"
"There's a droid on the hull?"
Trista's voice was sharp enough that Ben would have heard her even without the intercom.
"What kind?"
"The kind that shouldn't be there," Taryn replied. "Hit the hull scrubber."
A soft warning chime sounded, then the lights dimmed, and the ambient whirring of the ventilation fan slowed to a near stop. An instant later, a melodic crackling sang through the hull as the Blue Slipper's anti-theft system was activated. Ben concentrated on the droid's presence and sensed no difference.
"Didn't work. It's probably pulse shielded."
"Pulse shielded?"
Trista echoed over the intercom.
"What is it? A battle droid?"
"Yeah, probably."
Ben turned to Taryn.
"Where's your EV locker?"
Taryn raised thin brows.
"No way you're going out there, Ben. Our orders are to deliver you to the prince safe and sound."
A loud clanging echoed from the stern as the droid went to work on the hull with a tool or weapon. Ben could not tell which. He looked toward the noise, then said,
"Well, someone has to go out there. And since I'm the only one who can force-stick himself to the exterior of a hull, it should probably be me."
Trista's voice came over the intercom.
"The droid just sent a message back to Nova Station, and something in the docking bays just made an S-thread transmission."
No one bothered to state the obvious. The droid's message had been relayed to something waiting outside the Carita Nebula.
"Fine."
Taryn led the way forward and opened a hidden locker that served as a combination emergency equipment closet and airlock.
"Just don't get yourself killed. Her Majesty would hold it against us."
Ben smiled.
"I'll do my best. Keep me posted on our tactical situation."
"Any idea who we're expecting?"
"No, but it was calling someone,"
Ben said, climbing into one of the EV suits.
"And it seems pretty clear that droid would rather have me dead than let me escape."